From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And a live look inside Everbank Field. We're about a week out from Senior Bowl week in Mobile. The coaching staff inside here getting prepared. Welcome inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with you. Coming up today, busy show, Allen Robinson, Jaguars wide receiver, will join us here in studio. We'll play a game of this or that with Brian Sexton and talk about the Jags receivers with our senior correspondent. And Senior Bowl Executive Director Phil Savage will join us over the phone line to prep for next week's Senior Bowl festivities. We welcome in John Osier and welcome in Allen Robinson. What's up, man? How are you?
How are you doing?
Doing well. Get closer to the microphone for us there. And you're Pro Bowl prep underway, right? What is Pro Bowl preparation like?
You know, it's been fun, man. You know, just standing. You know, I think that's the main thing. You know, it's always fun for me. You know, whenever I get out on the field, you know, put in some extra work. You know, so I mean, for me, you know, just trying to put in some work now. You know, so I can take a couple weeks off after the Pro Bowl and then get back to it.
Is it just mainly running, Allen? Just making sure that you're still in enough shape to go out there and play a game.
Oh yeah, you know, I think that's the main thing, you know, still making sure I'm getting those running mechanics, mm-hmm. and, you know, still prepping my body, you know, for what I'm enduring in the Pro Bowl.
I asked you this last week, but such a breakout season, and you kind of laughed and said, hey, the main difference is fantasy football people know who I am. But how have you sort of seen your recognition level change or your profile change?
You know, I think it's changed a little bit. You know, funny that you mentioned that, because I was in New York last weekend, and there was a couple people who had recognized me. You know, a couple people from fantasy, and then just recognized me. You know, so I think it has changed a little bit. You know, but nothing too drastic.
That's so you went to the fight in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I did. You know, that was a good time. You know, I think that was like the second fight I had been to. You know, so I mean, it was a real fun environment, you know, really a real live environment, you know, so it was pretty cool.
The Bronze Bomber, right?
Yeah, man. That dude's nothing to mess with, man.
It was a cold knockout, too. You know, the Pro Bowl voting, you were the first alternate. Calvin Johnson bowed out, so that's how you got in as the first alternate. Did that bother you? Does that kind of thing?
Nah,
I mean,
man.
How does that work for you?
Nah, man, no, it don't really bother me, man. I know some people let it get to them and things like that, you know. But I mean, it don't really bother me, especially you know, looking at the choice of who all was chosen and things like that, you know. So, I mean, it wasn't anything, you know. I really lost sleep over or anything like that, you know.
You talked when it happened that it was really an honor to be mentioned with those guys, because it is an elite group and the receiver position can be a tough ceiling to break through, so to speak, because there's so many well-known guys and they have the fantasy profile, if you will. So it really was a big deal for you to even be in that group for you, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, I think that was a special thing. I mean, when you look at the list of, you know, Antonio Brown, you know, Julio Jones, you know, AJ Green, Brandon Marshall, you know, all these guys, and Fitzgerald, you know, all these guys, and Calvin himself too, are, you know, probably future Hall of Famers, mm-hmm. you know. So, it's real special, you know, for this to be my second year, you know, even to be in that category with those guys.
There's got to be one guy you looked at and went, I should have been on over here.
Like I said before, you know, I mean, it's just so tough, you know, as far as, you know, how they choose and things like that, you know what I mean? So, I feel like numbers and things like that, you know, I mean, you could look at, you know, a couple other receivers as far as, you know, different people with numbers and stuff like that and say, you know, some person should have been in, some person should have been out, you know? So I think that's too tough of a decision, you know, to try to do it like that. So
your numbers, 80 receptions, 1400 yards on the nose and a league high 14 touchdowns, tied for the league high. You know, with numbers like that, Allen, you're going to have a bullseye on your back now. Defensive coordinators will have a whole offseason to try to figure you guys out, and that's a different challenge moving forward, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, Coach Sully, you know, he always preached to us, you know, as far as, you know, the better that you play, the better that you're going to have to play, you know. So I think for us in our room, you know, we hold ourselves to a pretty high standard, you know. So for us, we're going to get to work as soon as possible, you know, and get ready, you know, for us to have to endure, you know, what defenses may do to us, you know, just to have that versatility, you know, for us to go up against that and be ready for that.
Now, I'll put you on the spot a little bit here. Do you think or hope that being in the Pro Bowl will help you get a few more calls next year. Because as a young guy, sometimes you don't get those calls.
I'm not even gonna lie on that one. Yeah, I surely do hope so. You know, I think it was a few, you know, calls, even a couple that I got, you know, called against me.
Right.
You know, so I mean, hopefully, you know, hopefully I get just a couple more to go my way. You know what I mean? I'm not asking for too many, but just a couple.
And that's just sort of how it works over time, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think, like you said, just over time, you know, and then,
it took Jordan a while to start getting calls.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so hopefully, you know, like I said before, hopefully, you know, our whole room, you know, I think it was a little sketchy at times on, you know, some things that we didn't quite get, you know, so hopefully we can get just a couple more, you know, we're not asking for too many, you know, just a couple.
Now, speaking of the room, Allen Hurns underwent surgery. I know you guys are close. Talk to him at all yet?
Yeah, I have, you know, I mean, for him, for him, it's something that he just has to, you know, go through, you know, I know for him, you know, it's nothing too dramatic. You know, I'm 100% sure that he'll bounce back from that. He's 100% sure, you know, so just for him, you know, just having to take some downtime, you know, I think that'll be the hardest thing for him, you know, just taking it day by day, taking it, you know, kind of easy. I think that's kind of what happened with me last year as far as, you know, it was a period of time in my life where I was hurt, you know, for that amount of time, mm-hmm. you know, so for me, it was kind of tough, you know, not being able to do some of the things I wanted to at that time, you know, and also, you know, getting a late jump to, you know, working out, you know, I didn't get back till around OTAs, you know, so I tried to jump back too, you know, so, I mean, fortunately for him, you know, he'll be back a little bit sooner than that, you know, so he'll have some time.
We've heard this story a lot, Alan. You know, before the year, there's a lot of talk. Hey, this Jaguars team needs a veteran receiver. They got to go sign a guy to help the young guys out. And I know you've talked about this before. I know Hurns has talked about this too. That motivated you guys. You didn't need a veteran in the room,
for sure.
Right?
And I think that motivated everybody in our room, you know, from me, Hurns, you know, Marquise, especially with us three, you know, being the guys who were here from last year. You know, I think, you know, that was what we heard, you know, throughout the course of last year. That's what we heard throughout the course of the offseason and things like that, you know. But at the end of the day, we know the plays that we can make. You know, we know the players that we can be. So, I mean, for us, you know, that really drove us. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't nothing that we, you know, really thought about too much, you know, each and every day. But, you know, as a whole, you know, our whole motive, you know, going into the season, it wasn't about, you know, proving those guys wrong, you know, but Dave, you know, Coach Bradley and everybody and Coach Sully and those guys, they had, you know, the confidence in us, you know, that we didn't have to bring in a vet, you know, that we could have a good passing game, you know, with the guys that we had in our room, you know, so for us, you know, we just wanted to continue to make those guys right.
Get a little work with Bortles in the off season. That was a story of last off season. You guys getting together on a field. Bishop Kenny, I think, was the high school lot. Is there more of that planned this year?
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, for sure. You know, everybody's gonna take a little break. You know, get away for a little bit. You know, but for us, you know, I think with us, you know, having such a young group, you know, we're anxious to get back into it. You know, and I think with us, like I said before, with us being young, you know, our bodies can endure a little bit more. So we have the youth to be able to get back at it, you know, just a little bit earlier and a little bit quicker.
You received an award, Pro Football Focus, most big plays, the best big play receiver. I know it's not a big deal to you in terms of outside recognition, but stuff like that has to be good in terms of, like, the Pro Bowl. Again, some recognition coming.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and just for me, you know, just using it as a stepping stone. You know, for me, I mean, coming to this season, that was my main focus, was that I wanted to make more big plays.
Right.
You know, that was a big thing for me. You know, creating more X plays for my team. You know, so seeing and reflecting on this year, you know, seeing that I was able to do that, you know, it's just a stepping stone for me. You know, as far as, you know, continue to improve my game.
For this year, when was the last 90-yard play you had? Ever?
90-yard play, yeah. Man. Probably since a little league.
Those don't come along very often.
No,
yeah.
They don't. They don't.
What was the play in Little League?
Playing Little League, you know, I played running back up until my junior high school. You know, so for me, it was all really runs. So
you just broke a bunch of tackles and went for it.
Yep.
All
right. Yeah. Social media. I know you're a social media guy. We found that out the last few days, right? What's your handle?
DTHEE_AR15.
Okay. We've got a lot of questions from folks today. We'll go right through them. We'll start off with Chris with Defer asking, did you ever play a different position in high school?
Oh, yeah, I played running back. I played running back and I played corner. Those were my two, you know, main positions up until my junior year of high school.
You got too tall to be a running back?
Yeah, I would probably say that, you know, and I kind of started to play, like, up until that, well, I was playing running back and, like, a little bit of slot, You know, so my high school coach, you know, thought he'd move me to receiver, because I mean we had a pretty stacked running back group anyway.
Mm-hmm. Smart man. Wise guy underscore DT. What songs are in your game day playlist?
Songs in my game day playlist. I listen to a lot of different stuff. You know, I listen to Jay-Z. I'm not too familiar. I'm not sure if he's too familiar with Young Thug. I listen to Young Thug, Drake. I listen to one of my college teammates as well. You know, he makes music and stuff now. So I listen to him as well. But yeah, I mean, I have a pretty versatile playlist.
John listens to Young Thug all the time.
Well, I help him get a start.
Yeah, man. Young Thug's one of my favorite.
What does he do? I don't even know what he does,
Val. It's kind of hard to explain. Okay. And until, you know, like I said before, one of my favorite, you know, artists, you know, up and coming artists, is one of my homeboys who I went to college with, Bill Belton, you know. So I listen to him a lot as well.
Very cool. This is from Dan Gio. What was your favorite team growing up? I know you're a Detroit guy.
My favorite team was the Minnesota Vikings.
Is that allowed in Detroit?
For me, man, being able to catch one of those games almost every year growing up, you know, being able to see Randy Moss, you know, Chris Carter, Nate Burleson, Dante Culpepper, you know, that was my team, man. That was, if you ask my dad today, I was a diehard Vikings fan.
The Vikings. Alex Four asking, who was your biggest inspiration as a kid? You mentioned a few names on the Vikings. Anything like
biggest
that?
Biggest inspiration. That's tough.
Or you can go deeper than that, too, off the field.
I was a Vikings fan. Also, I would say growing up, I was a big LaDainian Tomlinson and Reggie Bush fan. Mm-hmm. Those my three guys were Randy Moss, LT, and Reggie Bush. Those were my guys.
Good list.
Yeah, not bad. Not a bad list. James Man Bra asking, you're from Detroit. Are you a big Eminem fan? And how about the Pistons?
I have been a big Eminem fan. You know, I mean, he hasn't really dropped too much music as of lately. So, I would say I haven't heard too much of him. And, the Pistons, man, the Pistons are coming back around. You know, for me, growing up, I was a big Pistons fan as well, you know, but the team kind of went a different direction. You know, a lot of players that I was familiar with, you know, weren't on the team anymore. As far as, like, me growing up, like Chauncey Billups, Ben Wallace, Richard Hamilton, all those guys, you know, they weren't on the team anymore. You know, so I kind of had fell off the bandwagon a little bit, because, I mean, we didn't have too many recognizable players.
And for people who don't know, basketball was your first love, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. Basketball was my thing. You know, for me, even today, I joke with my dad. You know, we joke all the time about, you know, how many more hours I spent in the gym, you know, growing up rather than, you know, on the football field.
All right, let's finish with a guy you probably recognize this handle, at A1 Hearns, asking why everybody's still sleeping on us. Alan Hearns chiming in.
I would say people still sleep on us a little bit, you know, but I would say it's coming around, you know, and for me and him, you know, that's something that we really, you know, this year for us, you know, just being able to see the excitement, you know, with our fan base, you know, and around the city, you know, as far as where you see our offense going, you know, even Coach Shelley would tell us, you know, sometimes as far as, you know, it hasn't been this much excitement around Jacksonville and around, you know, our offense and the young players in a long time, you know. So, I mean, for us, you know, just continuing to use each and every game, each and every year as a building block for us, you know. I think we see that we have a bright future, you know, and I think everybody sees the vision, you know, that we all have and where we can go, you know. So continue just to try to lay the blueprint out, you know, and follow that plan.
Am I reading this right that Alan Hearns without something to do is going to be trouble?
Yeah, man, I think so, man. So hopefully he can get back to it, you know, get back to start doing something pretty soon, you know. But I know for him, he's gonna be itching around in no time. You know, I have a feeling he'll probably be back either tomorrow or the next day, sometime this week. And I know he'll be itching around the weight room each and every day.
Alan, enjoy Hawaii, and we appreciate your time. Good luck to
you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Have fun out there.
Alan Robinson joining us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Get your season tickets for 2016. The Texans and Titans at home, Broncos, Packers, the Vikings, Raiders, and the Ravens all here. Call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/tickets. Alan Robinson, pretty good football player. Huh?
Yeah, good player, and obviously he's one of those guys. It's one thing to be a good young player. It's another thing to be a good young player who gets where he is and what he has to do to keep getting better. He clearly worked last offseason to improve. He clearly has the right mindset. You know, it's not that he's the only guy on the team who's like that, but he's certainly one of the guys who approaches things the right way. And it's hard to imagine him not continuing to build and not continuing to grow as a player because he has the right mindset. He's a worker on and off the field.
Brian Sexton with us now. There's just a confidence around him that you've seen grow over the years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you said it right. I mean, he is a guy who understands what he has to do, and he does it, whether that's working on the practice field, working in the off season, or dealing with the media. I mean, he's a great kid, and the thing that I like the most about him is that he's setting the tempo. Alan Hearns is one of his best friends. Alan Hearns is trying to keep up. Marquise Lee sees that. Marquise Lee is trying to keep up. I mean, you need to have those kinds of players that push everyone else to be their best, and he's one of a few in there.
Well, it's one thing to know what you have to do. It's another thing to actually do it. Last offseason, he wanted to do a couple of things to improve, or many things to improve, and he went and he put the work in and he did it. So bright future for him. A star on this team.
And this franchise, especially their names at that position that have done great things, Jimmy Smith and Keenan and those guys, there's always going to be that shadow to follow. Is this a different path these guys are going than they
did? Well, you know what? Between Jimmy and Keenan and Allen Robinson and Alan Hearns, you had you know, Matt Jones and Reggie Williams. I mean, neither one of you guys had to endure that. Trust me. I did. And so, you know, I think that the shadow is long gone because, A, time has passed, but, B, you know, there have been enough players who have come in and not succeeded that he has now set his own pace. I mean, look, everyone's going to make comparisons. It's what we do.
I mean,
time fills that. But he's a different kind of player than Jimmy. And in his own right, I mean, look, 14 touchdowns is a franchise record. 80 catches, 1,400 yards, leads the league in down-the-field efficiency. Jimmy didn't do that. You know, so Jimmy was great, and I think Allen Robinson will be great in his own way.
Yes.
Thanks, John. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Trust me, you're so glad that you didn't endure Matt Jones and that nonsense.
Quite a scene the few years around here at that position. Other big news around the Jags this week, still the process of trying to hire a defensive coordinator. Interviews ongoing, still no timetable. You've heard some names around. It's the process continues. Same conversation we had last week, I guess.
Don't care who it is. Tell me who the players are. I mean, literally, the system that they have here, and I shouldn't say I don't care who it is. I really like Todd Walsh. I really think he's a tremendous coach. I would like to see him get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do care from that perspective. But the big picture is that the scheme is Gus's, and the players would have made Bob Babich successful, I believe. But you didn't have Dante Fowler, and Andre Branch and Chris Clemons were not good pass rushers this year. And so, you know, whoever it is, who are you going to give him, right? Is Dante Fowler going to come back 100%? Are you going to give him other players in the draft? The name outside of Walsh seems irrelevant to me. I think you're going to go find a good coach that's going to work Gus's scheme.
I agree with that as well. And I think what
they're
doing right
now.
Yeah, well, maybe
I
got
to quit while I'm ahead. It's good to see you.
But I think the process is playing out in the same way that it did last year with Doug Marrone and not with Greg Olsen. Gus dismissed Babich 2 days after the season, very similar to the timing on Jed Fish. And then we were standing in Mobile on Monday of Senior Bowl week talking to Gus about the new hires. It feels sort of like that, where Gus is basically coming in and saying, I want to go through the process. I want to make sure it's the right process. I want to make sure that whatever new assistant is coming in, it fits with what we want to do. So I see it very similar to last year. And last year, I think an argument made that he found the right guys in Marrone and Olsen. So he's trying to do the same thing he did last year.
Let's play a game we call
This or That.
Yes, it's called This or That. Today's question: what three players should be on the Jags' radar for the number 5 overall pick? Draft talk is here, boys.
Well, I'll state the obvious, and I'll say Jalen Ramsey. I mean, he's the guy everybody's talking about, the cornerback from Florida State. But the reason he would go so high, the reason he would be chosen over Vernon Hargraves, for example, from Florida, is I think this team values the safety position right now at a high level, meaning in the top of the draft, more than they would a cornerback. So if the best pass rusher in the draft, Bosa, would drop to 5, that would make sense as well. But if you can't get what you feel is a bona fide pass rusher at five, free safety is key in this, and supposedly Jalen Ramsey can play it at a high level.
I hear that too, and he should absolutely be on the radar, and I think Miles Jack should be on the radar. You know, the more that I look at him and the more that I talk to people about him, you know, an ultra athletic, 6'1", 250 pounder who can rush the passer, play in coverage, play the tight end. I mean, how can you beat that? And by all indications, you know, he's one of those rare guys. The last guy that came into the NFL with that kind of ability was probably Brian Urlacher, who did a little bit of everything when he was at New Mexico. But I'll say that the number one guy on their radar should probably be Joey Bosa, right? And people go, oh, he's not going to be there, right? How about Leonard Williams last year? I thought he would be gone at one or two. Most people did, and the Jets had an opportunity at six. You're talking about a game-changing pass rusher who was highly effective at the highest level of college football. All the measurables are there, and if he's sitting there, boy, it's going to be really tough to pass on that guy.
I think the reality here, you know, I've been talking about Jalen Ramsey in the ozone for a while because he's the guy who sort of makes sense with the fit and where he might fall, but this defense desperately needs, whether it's end, whether it's tackle, whether it's linebacker, they need somebody who can make an impact. Yes, that means pass rusher, but they need a guy who can run, who can hit, who has field, you know, all those things that you expect a top five guy to be. They need an impact guy to make impact plays. Well, that's kind of obvious, but boy, when you watch this defense, don't you need it?
Bosa, Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, all of those guys fit the run and hit mentality. So who's ever there as they look to upgrade their defense? And you know, I think most people assume that Dante Fowler is going to come back after having the year to get stronger and be able to put his hand on the ground and give them a pass rush. So now you combine any of those three. I'd love to have all three of them. But any of those three will make this defense better for whoever the defensive coordinator is. A lot better.
Agreed.
Well, there you have it. Three agreements today for you guys.
What an agreeable move.
New league record.
New league record.
When was the last time you and Sherry agreed three times in the same day?
Give me a minute.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in hallowed, rarefied air.
Yes, you are. Brian, good to see you, man.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, we'll see you in a while. It'll be a week, at least a couple weeks, right? Because we're
going to Mobile.
Mobile.
Hey, there's a place there I think you should visit. The name strikes Beats.
I've heard of it. Yes, Brian Sexton's out of here. Senior Bowl coverage begins next week, Monday the 25th through Thursday the 28th. We'll be in Mobile. Live coverage from practice. Exclusive interviews with Jaguars executives and behind-the-scenes access, all right here on Jaguars.com. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, and we're out to Phil Savage. We'll try to get him coming up.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be it's always an interesting week in Mobile with the entire NFL coming to town pretty much, except for the teams in the playoffs, of course. A lot of you know, front office types are there, scouts are there. You have head coaches from almost every team that come. And then you have coaches looking for jobs as well. They're all in a hotel lobby or a bar across the street, shaking hands and trying to look for work or interviewing players in the lobby. It's an interesting scene to watch.
Well, and this is a way to set up Phil Savage coming in. It's always been the off season or the first off season convention of the NFL. In addition to scouting the game, you always go and. I always joke that you see the garb. You see everybody in their new garb. New coaches walk around in their new outfits, and they're proud. And it's a great scene. Phil Savage has come in and taken what was always a very good event and raised it to another level. And the respect that he has among other NFL people has really helped the game. So now I guess we'll introduce Phil Savage.
Let's go to the phone line and welcome in the executive director of the Senior Bowl, Phil Savage. What's up, Phil?
Well, I'm good, guys. Glad to be on with you again, and welcoming you back to Mobile for a third year in a row.
Yeah, we know a little bit about the place now, that's for sure. We're just talking, Phil, about the scene around the game, the week leading up to it. The entire NFL's there, head coaches from almost every team, scouts, coaches that are out of football looking for work are around there as well. You got guys interviewing in the lobby. It's a really unique scene and kind of starts the whole pre-draft process.
Yeah, it really is sort of the unofficial NFL convention, because when you think about the owners' meetings and the combine, you know, everybody's not there. Whereas here at the Reese's Senior Bowl, virtually everyone is in one location. So it's a fun event. We're very excited about the players that we've been able to secure for the game. You know, very happy that Gus and the staff will be coaching the game again. I mean, that familiarity. I know it's not ideal in terms of having some off time in January, but I do think the Jags have benefited from being here. I know it's helped our game because of his enthusiasm and the way he's conducted the practices. I think the players have definitely benefited from that experience. And then, of course, the Dallas Cowboys will be here for the first time since 1965. But they coached the game four times in a row from 61 to 65. So the Jaguars are in a pretty good company there when it comes to consecutive years at the Senior Bowl.
The process of having the coaching staff there for a third year, we understand it. It's the worst record without a head coaching change. But how did the Jags get involved again? And take us through that process. How do you recruit coaching staffs to come coach?
Well, this is all done through the NFL and the league office. So they start at the very top of the draft order and try to go down through the teams in terms of an intact coaching staff. And, you know, San Diego was in line at pick number three, but they cleaned house on the offensive side of the ball, and there wasn't a feeling that they could get the staff together enough to be ready for the Senior Bowl game. So they were bypassed. The Cowboys were next at number four, and they accepted it, of course. And then, you know, I think the Jags are fifth, right?
So, yes.
The Jags were the next team. And, you know, if they wanted to pass it, they could conceivably have done so. But I do think that as much as you're not all that enthused about doing it a third year in a row, I do think that the benefits outweigh the week of downtime that would be sacrificed here. So I'd spoken to Dave Caldwell a few days before all this was going to be resolved, and he told me that, look, if it gets to us, we will do it again. So, but that's all handled through the league mm-hmm. office, not directly with the Senior Bowl.
Phil, the Senior Bowl has always been a game where a lot of good players go, obviously. But I would go in the 90s and win a couple of times in the 2000s. It seems like in the last few years, and looking at this year's list, it sort of jives with this. You've been very consistent that most of the guys in your game are projecting as, you know, second through sixth round picks. Since you've gotten there, is the recruiting process for this game or the player procurement process something you're proud of? And I assume it's something you have to work at year round.
Well, when I got here in June of 2012, the first meeting we had, I told the staff that, you know, I think that our goal should be to run the Senior Bowl as if we were a 33rd NFL franchise. Let's build a watch list. Let's go out and see and study the players. Let's rely on our contacts with the NFL and see if we can attract the very best 110 players to come to Mobile. Now, you know, our first round numbers historically have taken a hit in recent years because so many juniors are coming out for the draft. And if you look at any mock draft right now that's out there, you know, two-thirds of the first round is going to be underclassmen that we don't have access to. So, you know, that is a metric that we don't really judge ourselves on. We judge ourselves on how many guys get drafted and how many end up with teams. And last year's game ended up producing over 100 players that ended up with teams. So, you know, you're not going to go to a single college game all year that has that many players that are going to be wearing NFL helmets and jerseys the following fall. It's not Alabama versus LSU, not Ohio State versus Michigan. None of those games are going to boast this much talent on one field. And that's why it's still very important, the comparisons that can be made, comparing the small school guys on a bigger stage, Big Ten players blocking Southeastern Conference players, you know, SEC quarterbacks throwing to Pac-12 wide receivers. The comparison and contrasting of these players really colors the background for the scouts, and I think it's an important step. And, you know, I'm very proud of not only what the players have achieved on the field, but I think off the field it also gives them a head start into what NFL life is really going to be like. The meetings, the mental preparation, the techniques involved, the fact that you are almost required to do community service wherever you go in the NFL. And then, of course, we've added some elements this year with more media training and then financial education. So a player can absolutely not only boost his stock, but boost his mentality in terms of getting ready to go through this ordeal called the pre-draft process.
I've got my list of names and rounds here of players in the games, Phil, but I won't go over all of them. But you know these guys better than anybody, and you spent time getting them here. Tell me about maybe the top couple of position groups and what you're excited about in this year's game.
Well, I think the player that's going to be the poster child for the game is Carson Wentz, the quarterback from North Dakota State. Throughout the fall, he was seen as and was getting grades in the second round, primarily from scouts that were going to Fargo. Not a lot of GMs went to Fargo. Certainly no NFL head coaches went to Fargo. But over the last few weeks, as the upper reaches of these organizations have now begun to get involved in the tapes and really, you know, turn the page on the season and now get ready for the draft, there's been more and more buzz about Carson Wentz, not only as a first-rounder, but potentially going in the top 10.
Right.
Now, he's playing for the Cowboys side on the north, and there's, you know, a few mock drafts that already have him paired with the Cowboys at number 4. So I think everybody's very excited to see him. I think as a position group, the strongest group on the field, in my mind, will be the defensive line. When you consider Jaron Reed from Alabama, Sheldon Rankins from Louisville, Austin Johnson from Penn State, Vernon Butler from La Tech, Jihad Ward from Illinois, Carl Nassib from Penn State, I mean, there's a number of those guys that are going to go in the first round. And I think the competition with that D-line versus the O-line is going to be extremely competitive this year.
Phil Savage is with us, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Going back a question or two, is it a surprise to you that anybody would ever say no and turn down an invitation?
It's not necessarily a surprise because it's happened some over the last several years since I got involved with the game. You know, the college season has gotten longer and longer. Sometimes guys are not 100% healthy. They feel like they need a break from football before they dive into the combine prep and pro day work. And so we understand that. I think that when a player bypasses us because he's rated so high, that's understandable, too, because of the risk of injury, et cetera. But I will tell you guys, knock on wood, that thus far this year, I think we've done a better job of educating the players and making this a must-attend event, not only because of what happens on the field, but, again, primarily because of the connections that a player can make off the field. I don't think that gets enough attention in terms of, okay, you may be playing for the Jags, but 3 or 4 years from now, the coach that you played for might be a coordinator or a head coach somewhere else, and that might be the actual linchpin to you getting that second contract. So the connections that you make not only with the media but with the teams themselves, I think sometimes can last a career.
Phil Savage from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. I know you have a busy day ahead, local media day, if I understand right. You're going to move the Alabama quarterback around today. But we appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week in Mobile.
Okay, guys. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you here again. And thank you for allowing us to have a few minutes on your program.
There
you go. Phil, thank you.
Phil Savage, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. We'll see him next week in Mobile. It's always a fun event.
Yeah, it is. And it's a tougher job than he makes it out to be because, you know, he does have to juggle guys who are at the top of the draft that you know that they're going to lose because players don't want to risk their draft stocks. There's a certain group at the top that he's not going to get. But as he said, a lot of second rounders in this game, and it looks like a lot of second to third rounders. So it'll be hard for us to say, yes, the Jaguars are targeting XYZ player there, but these third, fourth, fifth round defensive guys, it'd be surprising if you don't see one or two of those guys get drafted.
And that's the history with the Jags.
Yep.
A couple of years ago, those mid-late rounds were all
right.
Senior Bowl
gives them
guys.
A chance to really get to know these guys. So
It's good to see you. We'll see you in Mobile, John.
I can't wait for that,
yeah,
JP.
There you have it.
All right.
For John Osier, Brian Sexton, everyone involved, our thanks to Alan Robinson and to Phil Savage, and thanks to you for watching Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.